Today on Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe answers a very important question in his message called, Can I Lose My Salvation? But before we hear from Pete, the holidays will look different this year, and a lot of us are feeling discouraged and in need of hope. Stuart and Jill want to encourage you by sending you their Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with a companion audio or USB read by Jill herself. These resources are our thanks for your support to help more people in our weary world experience life in Jesus Christ. So call today to give and request your copies. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete Briscoe with his message, Can I Lose My Salvation?
If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll start in verse 9 in just a few moments. I'm going to pray first. Lord Jesus, speak to us by your Spirit through me. Comfort us. This is a passage of comfort. I pray that we would rest assured in our salvation, that we would find comfort, that fear would dissipate, and that we would enjoy the life that you have purchased for us. As a result of this time in your word, I give it to you and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had a conversation in the church van this week with some of our senior leaders. And the conversation went something like this. Is it possible to know you're saved? Is it possible to be absolutely sure? Can you have full assurance? And friend who was asking the question said, because this guy who was like instrumental in leading me to Christ, he actually led me to Christ. He led a whole bunch of people to Christ. Years later, he turned his back on Christ, left the church. He's an atheist now. And if that guy can like walk away from Jesus, I mean, can I walk away from Jesus? It's an unsettling thing. Someone else in the van said, you know what? There was a guy who was instrumental in leading me to Christ too, and he's walked away from Jesus too. And when that happens, and it's someone you know, it's kind of scary. And it raises this question, how can I know my salvation will be there for me when I get to the end? I mean, how can I really know? Can I really know? Is full assurance possible? We have what I'm going to call subjective assurance, right? I was reading in Galatians 4 this morning where the Apostle Paul says that because we are sons and daughters of God, he gives us the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit of Christ, who cries out to the Father, Abba, Father. So there's this interaction that takes place when we say yes to Jesus, when we get Christ and his Spirit in us, and then he is intimate with the Father, so we are drawn into intimacy, and we feel that. There's a knowing. We know we have Christ. It's kind of like this. If you needed a heart transplant, like a physical heart transplant, and there's like six doctors that can do this kind of thing, and so you got to do some research, right? Because you want to find the best person for this job, right? You don't want some hack taking your heart out and then putting your heart back. Okay, so I'm going to find the best one. So I'm going to read, I'm going to research, I'm going to figure it out, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, I'm going to talk to people. And then going into the surgery, one of your friends is going to ask you one day, so how do you feel about this? I mean, how sure are you that this is going to work? And you're going to say something like, you know, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm as sure as I can be that this is the right person. But talk to me afterwards, right? And afterwards, the heart is removed, a new heart is put in, and the blood starts coursing through your veins, and a few months later, you're up and you're about and you're healthy, and someone says, so how do you feel about that doctor now? And you'll say, I'm absolutely convinced he can do this because you've experienced it, right? That's a subjective experience. And those of us who have had a heart transplant from Jesus, we have a subjective feeling that he's there. But then life gets hard and we pray for healing for someone we love and they die. Or we pray that our parents won't get divorced, and they do. And we start to find ourselves thinking, you know what? I've asked God for stuff, not all that big of stuff, important to me, but I mean, he's big, he can do this, and he didn't come through for me. And this thought starts to creep into our mind, if he didn't come through for me on that, how do I know he's going to come through for me on this salvation thing? I mean, can I know? Like, can I know objectively that when I get to the end, my salvation is going to be there? That's the question I want to address today. It's a big question. And it's an important one because subjective assurance is like liquid concrete. I mean, it's concrete. All the elements of concrete are there, but I wouldn't put my full weight on it if I were you. Subjective assurance isn't enough. We need something objective. We need something outside ourselves. We need God to tell us something that's true that we can rest in, which is what he's going to do in our text today. So let's dive into it together. I'm going to tell you up front, this is a tricky portion of scripture. Welcome to Hebrews, right? It's not easy. If you do a little work and hang with me, this will make sense and it will be worth it, I promise. All right, we're going to answer the question, how do I know my salvation will be there when I get to the end? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Even though we speak like this, that's the whole portion I just described for you, the warning passage. If you're on the edge, make sure you jump, don't turn away. Even if we speak like this, dear friends, we're confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. So what he's saying is either, but you guys are believers, I'm confident of that, or I know you're going to heed my warning and you're going to jump into Christ. I'm confident of that. And you're going to find salvation and the things that come with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. And as you have helped his people and continue to help them, this is the fruit of that living field. It's love towards God and towards other people. It's what you see in a true believer. We want each of you, verse 11, to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Okay, you read that verse and you're kind of like, that verse said, I got to be diligent to the very end. And if I am, then my hope will be sure. Then I'll be sure at the very end. That's kind of what it reads like, right? This is a poor translation of the original. I want to make sure you know what the verse actually says. The little words in order to are not found in the original text. So you can like literally cross those words out if they're in your translation. It doesn't say in order to. The NIV that I'm reading from makes it sound like if you do these things, if you're diligent in these things, then you'll bring about this thing you're hoping for. It's like your diligence makes your salvation happen. It kind of sounds like that. But that's not what it says. And I'm glad because that's scary, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine if your salvation rested on your diligence? The question that I would have immediately would be, well, just how diligent do I need to be to make it? I mean, where is the line drawn? What if I'm not there yet? What if I'm loving, but I'm not loving quite enough? What if I'm loving, but my love isn't pure? What? All these questions start to come. But the good news is, literally, that's not what it says. What it says literally is, to the full assurance of hope until the end. It's not show diligence until the end. It's that the hope at the end is there and you can find it. You can have full assurance of it. So this text is going to tell us how we can find this full assurance that we're asking about. Verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy or sluggish. But, in contrast, or instead of that, we want you to imitate or follow the example of those who through faith, meaning they trusted, and patience, meaning they waited, inherit, they receive as a gift what has been promised. So we don't want you to be lazy, he says. But the opposite of laziness is not working really hard. The opposite of laziness is trust and wait. And you will see that he will come through for you. You'll see it.
You know that your salvation will be secure until the end. That's what Pete Briscoe is talking about on today's Telling the Truth, and he's coming right back for more. What do you think Christmas will be like this year? After all we've been through these past months, many people are discouraged as we approach the holiday season. But that's why this Christmas is so important, because we need that thrill of hope Jesus alone provides. We want to help you rejoice in hope this holiday season by sending you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. It's the perfect resource to encourage weary souls in these challenging times. And it's our way to thank you for your gift today to help keep telling the truth on the air. So please call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger along with Jill's companion audio. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Here's Pete Briscoe once again.
How can I have full assurance, Pete? You haven't told me yet. Well, in the next verse, he starts a long section where he's going to explain to you why you can have full assurance. It culminates in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, which says, "So let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance." So between here and chapter 10, verse 22, I'm going to be telling you how you can know, how you can rest assured. But it starts right here in verse 13. He says, when God made his promise to Abraham, okay, so he's just told us, I want you to imitate those who had faith and waited. Abraham is the best example in the Bible of someone who had faith and waited from the Old Testament. So he's his example that he's using for us. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Okay, stop for a second. God does two things. He makes a promise and then he swears an oath. Two different things. You remember back when you were in elementary school, and if you're a guy, there's a little girl who caught your eye, little Jessica. Oh, she was so cute. Remember her? And instead of just going and saying, Jessica, I think I like you, remember what you did? You asked your buddy Jimmy to go tell Jessica that you liked her. Remember this? I don't know why we do it this way, but we all did. Hey, Jimmy, go tell Jessica I like her. Oh, okay, I will. No, wait, Jimmy, this is serious. Look at me. Jimmy, look at me. Promise that you will tell Jessica that I like her. Hey, man, I told you, I'll tell her. I promise. No, wait, look at me, Jimmy, look at me. Swear to me that you will tell Jessica that I like her. I already promised. Swear! Okay, I swear! I'll do it. You see, a promise is one level of assurance. An oath, a swear, is another whole level of assurance. Am I right? So when you give a promise and then you add an oath to it, what you're saying is, I double dog dare you to trust me with this. Trust me. I'm trying to tell you in two really important ways that you can trust me on this front. And the text says that when God promised to Abraham, he also swore to him. Remember on the TV shows, or maybe you've been in the court of law recently, and you've had to stand up and be a witness. Remember what they do? They put a Bible in front of you and you put your hand on the Bible and they say, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? A promise. So help you God. Oath. A promise with an oath. You say, you can say, yeah, I promise to tell the truth. But then when you put your hand on the Bible, you just upped the ante a little bit, didn't you? And when you say, so help me God, what you're saying is, if I lie, it's not only on me, but I'm reflecting on God himself. Woo-hoo! A promise is one level of assurance. An oath is a completely different level. And when you put one on top of the other, God is saying, I double dog dare you to trust me in this. Trust me. So that's what he said to Abraham. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. So God promised, and then he said, so help me, me. He didn't say, so help me, God, because you always swear on someone greater than you. There's no one greater than God. So he said, so help me, me. He swore on himself. And so in verse 14, here's what he said to Abraham. I will surely bless you, and I will give you many descendants. There's the promise. God promised Abraham he'd have a lot of kids. Now, Abraham was 75 years old when he promised this. And to date, he had zero children. 75 years old, no kids. God promises you'll have kids. And not only will you have kids, you'll have so many you won't be able to count them. That's quite a promise. Quite a promise. So let me show you the promise And the oath is going to answer the question, how do I know my salvation will be there when I get to the end? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15, the very next chapter. Here comes the promise. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. Okay, he's making comparison between Melchizedek and Jesus. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. Underline those words, indestructible life. For it is declared, here comes the promise, it's from Psalm 110. It is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Here's the promise. Here comes the oath. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20, a few verses later. And it was not without an oath. See, that's where I got it from, right here in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's right here. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he, Jesus, became a priest with an oath. When God said to him, here comes the oath. When God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Circle that word, forever. It is in that word that your full assurance is found. Go back to verse 17. You are a priest forever. I asked you to underline the words indestructible life. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a priest for how long? Forever, circle forever in the order of Melchizedek. The promise oath to Abraham was about Abraham. God said, you'll have kids. The promise slash oath to you and me is not about us. It's about Jesus. And the promise is that he will be a priest forever without end. The promise and the oath to Abraham required Abraham to do something. The promise and the oath to us requires us to trust that he's telling the truth. So how do I know my salvation will be there when I get to the end? Here's the answer. Your salvation will be there when you get to the end because your Savior will be there when you get to the end. That's why. Please listen to me. I'm going to say this really carefully. You've got to understand this. Your salvation is based on the finished work of the cross and his perpetual application of that work in your life. Your salvation is based on blood being shed and blood being applied. He shed it on the cross. Every moment of every day, he applies it to you. Oh, but I sinned. Yes. And the priest has applied his blood yet again. Thus, as long as he lives, you are secure. It makes sense. So how do we know he's going to live? God promised us he'll be alive. But how do I really know? Well, then he stopped on top of the promise. He threw an oath just to double dog dare you to believe him. And the reason you know your salvation will be there at the end is because your Savior will be there at the end. Let me say it a different way. If Jesus dies, we all lose our salvation. If Jesus lives, we all keep our salvation. There is no allowance in Scripture for some of us losing it and some of us keeping it. If some of us could lose it and some of us could keep it, that means it's about us. It's not about us. The promise is not about us. The promise is about him. And the promise is he will be a priest forever. The reason your salvation will be there at the end is because your Savior will be there at the end. Everyone go like this. This, friends, is called good news. This is good news. And it's true. It's true. So I go back to the conversation in the church van. Someone we thought was a Christian runs away from Jesus, starts denying, and becomes an atheist. What do we do with that? Well, there's a couple options. One option is that he was always an edge stander. And at some point he turned away and he went back. And if he dies in this state, it proves that he never really was a believer. But we also talked about the fact that sometimes there's believers who are just struggling. They have doubts and they have struggles. That's true too. And what this text reminds us is that those folks who are truly believers will eventually come around. They will. Because their salvation is there for them. It's secure. He will continue to beckon. He will continue to call. He will continue to prompt. He will continue to drive you crazy until you say yes to him. So when you see this happen to someone and it makes you nervous, it makes you wonder if you're saved, here's what you do. You just ask yourself, have I trusted Christ to save me? Yes. Has he washed me clean in his blood? Yes. Is he still alive? Yes. Is he washing me clean today? Perpetually. Can I trust God on that? Well, he did promise, and then he swore an oath on top of it. So if there's anything I'm going to trust him on, this needs to be at the top of the list. It's really important, friends. So yeah, I can trust him. So I'm going to rest. And I'm going to live.
This is Telling the Truth, and you've just heard Pete Briscoe with his message, Can I Lose My Salvation? Pete will be back in a moment with a final thought for today. Scripture tells us to come to me, all you who are weary and hardened, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation to trust God in every circumstance, as Jesus himself is the source of hope for our weary world. We pray you've been encouraged by that hope through Telling the Truth. And today, we're asking for your support to help encourage even more people. Your generosity today will help make it possible to reach our weary world with the transformational truth of God's Word. And when that happens, people experience life in Jesus. That's why we believe Telling the Truth exists, for such a time as this, and why your gift today is so vital. So to say thanks for your generosity, we'll send you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with the companion audio on USB. It's the perfect resource to help you rejoice in hope this Christmas, no matter what circumstances you face. So please call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger, along with Jill's companion audio. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete with one last thought about the certainty of salvation.
Imagine if you did get that heart transplant that I talked about earlier, like the physical heart transplant. And then a few months later, after it obviously worked and you're up and around, you start worrying. You start becoming fearful. You don't want to tax it. What if it doesn't stick? And so you just lay around all the time. You become lazy, sluggish, because you're not convinced it worked. Eventually, your doctor hears about this, and your doctor sits you down and looks you in the eye and says something very profound. The doctor says to you, if you live in constant fear that the heart transplant you received didn't work, you will miss the life the heart transplant you received was designed to provide for you. You may as well not have gotten the heart transplant. Start to live. It worked. That's what Hebrews 6 says. Don't get lazy. Don't try to protect your heart transplant. Don't worry about it. Don't sit around fretting about whether you've lost your salvation or not. Your salvation will be there at the end because your Savior will be there at the end. It's true. Believe him. He promised. He swore it. Say, yes, I believe it. Take a deep breath and start to live. It's why he gave you the heart transplant in the first place. Pray with me. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I got two prayers. I pray for those who are edge standers, those who have experienced lots of Christian things but have never really given their heart to you. At the beginning of this chapter, you implored them to jump into Jesus. And I just want you to draw them into a relationship with you right now, that they would give their life to you right now. Say, yes, Jesus, wash me clean. Come and live inside me. I'm done with the Christian stuff. I want you, Jesus. And Lord, the second half of the chapter reminds us that once we have said yes to you and once we have been washed clean, as long as you live, we are safe. We are secure. We can breathe and we can live. Lord Jesus, thank you for that truth. I pray we would rest in it. And we would know, objectively know, that our salvation will be there when we get to the end, because our Savior will be there when we get to the end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray these things in your eternal name.
That's Pete Briscoe, closing out today's Telling the Truth. Before we go, remember to call and give today to receive Stuart and Jill's encouraging Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellmethetruth.org. We're so glad you've joined us today. Come back again to hear the Briscoes share more encouraging truth straight from God's Word. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.